Welcome to First Presbyterian Church in Lufkin. And
good morning.
We've got quite a few announcements. But before I get started, today is somewhat unique. And I'm going to quote that great philosopher, Jerry Garcia, of the Grateful Dead. Somebody has to do something. It's just incredibly pathetic that it has to be me. So with that prelude, as I mentioned, it's unique today. We have no liturgist, no pastor, but keep hope. Because as Reverend Blackman mentioned last week, we're all ministers. So this week, it's me. And fortunately, you won't have to listen to me all the time. We have a guest sermonist today, and it's Camille Atway. And he is the church engagement leader or team leader at Buckner International. Now, he also does have a Master's of Divinity from Houston Baptist University. And he wanted me not to talk about him, but about Buckner. Buckner International is a ministry dedicated to the transformation and restoration of lives. It is a Christ-centered organization that delivers redemptive ministry to vulnerable children, families, and seniors, thus following the example of Jesus Christ. And in addition to Camille, we have two folks from Buckner in the narthex after the service that have information about Buckner Family Pathways and foster care, and they'd be glad to chat with you, give you more information. And just like an army travels on its stomach, so do parishioners. On Wednesday, this Wednesday the 13th, from 5 to 8 at the Whataburger on 94, if you bring shoes, you get a burger. So do a good cause and eat well. And before I get into the normal announcements, let me have a personal note. I think a thanks and a job well done for everybody in the First Presbyterian community that pulled together for Barbara Corbett's memorial service. There were 231 folks here, and I think everybody did a great job pulling it together. So, again, thanks, job well done. Now, our normal announcements. Preschool is still looking for an administrative assistant and a full-time twos teacher. Contact the office at the preschool for more information. If you know of anybody, that's great. We can all help do some recruiting. The Centering Prayer Group will not meet this week, or else Reverend Blackman would be up here. The Brown Bag Bible Study will not meet for the same reason. The annual Angelina County Shoe Drive is back in partnership with KSWP. I'm not sure what that is again. Anyway, we've got a box out here, and I believe it ends on the 16th or fairly soon. So if you have shoes, here it is, June 13th to July 15th. So bring your shoes. And that is all of the formal announcements. And rather than muddling through on my own, I have a script. So if you hear me turning pages, I'm following through the script. So I've got tons of pages here. Let me make sure I've got everything. Okay, don't need that, don't need that. Okay, so we will begin with the opening prayer. Almighty God, you give the holy law to your people so it will always be near to us and our children. Through our Lord Jesus, who has fulfilled the law in every way, grant that we may love you with heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbors as well. Amen. So if you'd stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. People of God, what are we here to do?
To love the Lord our God with heart, soul, strength, and mind.
What are we here to do?
To love our neighbors as ourselves.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. And I will be flipping between the script and the bulletin here just to make sure. I'm going to differ from Reverend Blackman and not go down to the font and play with the water, so Let me just go through it here. The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. In faith and in patience, let us confess our sin before God and to one another. Now, join me in the prayer to confession, first in unison, and then in silence. Gracious God, Jesus tells us that our lives are enriched by loving you and loving our neighbors. We confess that love is hard for us. We are too selfish or too pessimistic, too hollow or too hardened, or just too tired to give ourselves to love's demands. Forgive our arrogance and our listlessness. Cleanse our hearts that we may find the strength to do what love requires and the grace to receive what love has to give. We pray in the name of Jesus, whose love has no boundary. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, and Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is in a new creation. The old life has gone, and a new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. As grateful, forgiven Christians, now let us stand and sing, as you're already standing, the glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let us pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bell or something. What? It wasn't in the script. I'm looking at the script. Sue Harpoon. Our prayer for illumination today is, Faithful God, How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. First reading today is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, the apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel, that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to you, to us, your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Holy words, holy wisdom. Okay, this is going to be interesting. If the children want to come up and test me. Gosh, it's a horde. Not used to me sitting here, are you? Okay, thank you. This is going to be strange. I'm going to be talking about something that you guys know nothing about. It's a song. It was sung many, 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 many years ago by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young called Teach Your Children Well. And the Presbyterian Church is really heavy on making sure you get all your quotations and citations correct. I haven't got to the good part. I'm just going to read a couple of the lyrics here that kind of make sense. Teach your children well. You must have a code you try to live by so that you can become yourself. Teach your children well. Feed them on your dreams. And know they love you. And then the other part is you teaching your parents. And you of tender years can't know the fears that your elders grew by. Help them with your youth. And know they love you. So that's what we need to do today, is just love our parents and teach them and listen. Okay, pray with me. Bow your heads. Dear Lord, hopefully they heard, hopefully they understood. Give them faith. Amen.
Thank you.
Our second reading and sermon text is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
morning. It is an honor and pleasure to be here. I know Michael's in charge today, but Reverend Blackman told me I have an hour to an hour and a half to share the word, so sit back and relax. On a more serious note, on behalf of the church engagement team that I'm a part of, on behalf of the leadership of Buckner, we really want to thank you all for your faithful stewardship for a number of years now. We're very thankful for your continued support. And we hope that you know that. We hope that you know we are so grateful for that, that you are taking part of our mission here in Lufkin, in Texas, and all over the world. We just read Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. We probably are familiar with the context of that passage. It's part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount is the largest single body ever recorded of Jesus' teaching in the New Testament. Jesus starts with the teaching of the Beatitudes, then moves into several small parables about salt and light. His audience is primarily disciples, but also crowds that gather around him, whether it be Sadducees, Pharisees, and teachers of the law, and seekers. He speaks about salt because there is corruption in the world, and speaks about light because there is darkness in the world. And today, I just want to focus on that second bit, on light. What does Jesus teach about light? And as I read this passage, I was challenged by three things that I want to challenge y'all with today. It is to be the light, to show the light, and to shine the light. And by God's grace, I hope just as I was challenged, I hope your hearts will be challenged as well. In verse 14, we're going to start with that first section, to be the light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You. It's an emphatic you. Not only that, it is in the plural form. If you go back and see the original, it's the plural form, emphatic you. It is us together. What Jesus is saying is that we are the light as we work together, as we work collaboratively as a community. That is how we become the light. We're called to work together. And it is then that our light shines the brightest. Wherever the church works together, it shines brightest. Wherever and whenever churches and ministries, just like Buckner, work together, we shine bright. When we come together to serve others under the banner of Jesus the King, we shine bright. Like I said, it's an emphatic cue. This means that Jesus was saying, not only it is a light, it is the light. You are that light. You can be that light. Apart from us working together under the banner of Jesus, there is no shining hope. There is no shining light. There will be no other light. We are the light in all those dark places in the world, in our communities, in our suburbs, in our schools, in our workplaces, in social spaces. You are the light. When Jesus says you are the light, the inner qualities of the Beatitudes is what ought to be to shine brightly in us. When Jesus says you are the light, he's referring to a state of being. It's not just doing. Being comes before doing, and more important than our doing is our being. At Buckner, we like to say hope shines here. That's our motto, hope shines here. We believe that wherever we serve, we can shine hope to others. Jesus says you are the light of the world. He's pointing back to Isaiah 49:6, to the Gentile mission, when the prophet says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. What we find at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount is the global mission that Jesus gives in Matthew 28:19-20, what we know today as the Great Commission. It begins with the words of the prophet Isaiah, passes through the Sermon on the Mount, and points to what we today call that Great Commission. Our domain of service as Christians is the whole world. It is Lufkin. It is the state of Texas. It's America. It's the whole world. Other cultures, other lands, other people. We were found to find others and to be that light. If you were to go with me to the graveside of Buckner's founder, Robert Cook Buckner, you find an interesting quote on his gravestone. It says, "Not one orphan child, but all orphan children." His vision in those words is that he wanted to be remembered by having that global view for all orphans, even beyond those in Texas in the late 1800s. Today, there are over 153 million orphans in the world. We have a responsibility to be a light to those orphans, to those vulnerable populations, to be able to say that hope shines here. So these parables about light teach us to be the light. They also teach us to show the light. Jesus says there are two things that we should not do with light. We cannot hide it, and we should not try to hide it. In other words, being the light is not to happen in obscurity, but out in the open for all to see. Have you ever flown on a plane on a clear night and just looked outside your window? What do you see? The city lights, right? Have you driven to a city and from miles away you can see the city lights shining against the cloud cover? It is impossible to hide the light. Even in that daylight, you can see a city from a distance. And Jesus is saying that it is, as it is impossible to hide a city on a hill, you cannot hide the light. He also says it is unthinkable, impractical, illogical to light a candle and put it under a bowl. Instead, you put it on a lampstand for all to see. Rather than putting it down low, you put it up high. The word in Hebrew is lemata, meaning down and low. You don't want to do that. You don't place it down and low. You want to put it up and high. And for most first century homes, they had a one-room home, and the lampstand was carved into the wall of the house in a very high place, where it was most advantageous to have that light. In other words, Jesus is saying, we are called to visibility. The world needs to see what we're doing. We are called to show our light out in the open, in the most advantageous place for all to see. Wherever you go, you see people trying to sell you on some idea or some ideology or whatever it might be. But as a church, we need to be louder than that. We need our message to be loud and clear and visible. So let me ask you this. What are you individually doing to show your light? What is the church doing collectively? What is so obvious about you as a person, as a family, as a church, that the community looks at and says, wow, hope really does shine here? Let me give you an idea of how to show the light. A few years ago, a lady living here in Texas was encouraging a group of women from across the state to bring brand new pairs of shoes, just like y'all are doing. And her goal was 2,000 pairs of shoes. For months, she promoted the shoe drive among dozens of churches. And those shoes were ultimately collected, sorted by younger men and women, and shipped to Dallas and our humanitarian aid center up there, and then sent all over the world. And so those shoes went to children who don't have shoes and who need shoes. And so you may ask, what is the big deal with shoes? And I actually asked myself that when I joined the team at Buckner. But for so many children around the world, a pair of shoes may save their life. Some children are in danger of running around barefoot, playing, cutting themselves, then stepping into contaminated water, catching parasites. Those parasites make their way to their organs, their hearts, potentially kill them. You are doing more than just provide a pair of shoes. You are serving a child. You are saving a child as well. Your shoes will be added to what's been already 4.25 million pairs of shoes since 1999 that were distributed to 86 countries around the world. This is one visible, tangible way that you can shine brightly and tangibly show how to serve others. So Jesus teaches us to be the light, to show the light, and finally he teaches us to shine the light. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The light here points back to the lampstand that is in the most advantageous place, so that it provides the most amount of light. And Jesus uses the phrase good deeds, and that word good comes from the Greek word kalos, which means focusing on attractiveness, beautiful appearance. There's beauty in the work that we do. There's beauty in the work that we do. Universally, across cultures, across languages, when people of faith come together and look at what you do, people of faith and non-faith look at what you do, they can see there's something good, there's something beautiful. There's unmistakably that joy and that hope. We shine best when our work has an attractive quality and level of excellence and a mark of beauty. You choose any instrument, any style of music, And if you play that instrument with excellence, we all have to stand back, pay our respects, and acknowledge in our hearts and in our mouths that this was really good. Your church, your ministry, your family shines when it does good deeds with excellence, with attractiveness. So what are you doing in excellence that causes those who see to stop and say, wow, that was good, that was right, that was awesome? This is when we shine the light in its brightest way. It needs to be beautiful and attractive. The good deeds are not intended to draw attention to us, to you and me. Rather, Jesus says that he doesn't say men should see your deeds and give you credit. He rather says they should see your attractive deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Our light shines the brightest when our deeds point not to us, but to the Lord. Many years ago, a Dallas pastor by the name of Dr. George W. Truett told the story of Dr. Robert Cook Buckner when he returned from a long trip raising money for the ministry. And he would arrive at the train station to greet hundreds of children that were waiting for him. By the way, during his lifetime, our records indicate R.C. Buckner served 12,000 children through Buckner Children's Home in Dallas. And so he stepped off the train, and the children would come, jump and sit on his lap, and kiss him on the cheek. And all the children came to kiss him except Mary. Now, Mary had been burned on one side of her body, and so she stood close enough to see all that, but she was far enough to be kind of isolated. And so R.C. Buckner looked at her and asked, Mary, why didn't you come over and kiss me just like all the children did? She said, I'm too ugly for you to touch me. But if you will just tell me you love me like you told the other children, that is enough. You don't have to touch me. Dr. Buckner lifted Mary onto his lap, gave her a kiss on the cheek again and again, and told her over and over how much he loved her as her tears rolled down her eyes. He was shining bright hope onto her cheek and into her heart. So my challenge for us this morning, are we serving others that way? Are we serving the vulnerable that way? Are we being the light? Are we showing the light? Are we shining the light? This is our role. This is our mission. It is our turn to say that hope shines here. Pray with me. Lord God, you are the light of the world who calls us to be light to others. May we trust you today, Lord God, as we serve each other better, as we serve vulnerable children and families better. Help us to be the light, to show the light, and to shine the light to those that are vulnerable. Lord, we want you to use us. We want you to use this church to be a beacon of hope in the city and in state. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Having heard the word, please stand if you're able, and we respond to the word with our affirmation of faith. Today, the Apostles' Creed is printed in your bulletin. Join with me. What do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our next hymn, which is in your hymnal number 451, Open My Eyes That I May See. Thank you.
be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come, and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, our gifts to the Lord. The ushers come forward. Praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. Amen. You may be seated. Join me in the prayers for the people, of the people. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, O God, we seek your grace. And you reply, we pray for the church. Let the good news of our faith and your love spread throughout the whole world as a sign of the gospel at work among us. In faith, O God, we seek your grace. We pray for our communities. Establish fairness and equality in this place. Let the city be rebuilt on that good foundation so that we may find refuge and welcome here. In faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
We pray for the world. Rise up to judge and rule the nations, so that the oppressed may find freedom and the poor may be delivered from evil. In faith, O God, we pray for the earth. Let our light shine among all people, that they may see how we care for your creation and love your neighbors. In faith, O God, we pray for loved ones. Be mindful of all who need healing, whether from sickness, sin, or shame. Show them your mercy and steadfast love. In faith, O God,
we seek your grace.
Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Again, if you're able, please stand for the hymn, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. It is number, it's been a correction in your bulletin, it's number 310. As we conclude our service today, do as we suggest to the children. Go forth and teach, learn, and love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.